Welcome to the Dr. Hotze Report at the intersection of medicine and politics. Your host is Dr. Stephen Hotze, founder and CEO of Hotze Health and Wellness Center in Houston, Texas. Dr. Hotze is a graduate of the University of Texas Medical School in Houston and has overseen the treatment of 45,000 patients. He has been a leader in the wellness revolution since 1989. Dr. Hotze has hosted over 1,400 of his own radio programs and appeared on hundreds of other radio and TV programs across America. He's a renowned author, speaker, and conservative Christian patriot leader. Now, here's Dr. Hotze and the Dr. Hotze Report.
Good day, Dr. Steve Hotze. This is the Dr. Hotze's Report, and boy, we have a great program lined up. We're going to visit with Matt Rinaldi, who is the chairman of the Republican Party of Texas in the first half of the program, then Ed Martin, who is chairman of Eagle Forum Defense, the second half of the program. Matt Rinaldi is a former state representative from 2015 through 2019. He became party chairman in 2021. He's the most conservative party chairman we've had in the Republican Party history in my lifetime. And he's outstanding, and he is standing with Ken Paxton, and we're going to talk about what's been going on over the last week during the impeachment proceedings before the state Senate, what's been going on today, and what the state party is doing to stand with Paxton, and what I'm doing. So we're going to show you some clips from last week that are really revealing about how weak the prosecution's witnesses are, and how strong the defense team has been, how they've been challenging him and really showing the tremendous faults that are in this impeachment proceeding. We're going to be back right after this with Matt Rinaldi, chairman of the Republican Party of Texas.
In today's modern world, knowing what you put in your body is crucial for maintaining optimal overall health. Many conventional health products claim to be good for you, but they may be contaminated with heavy metals, artificial chemicals, and toxins that could harm your health. Here at BrighteonStore.com, we believe your health and safety are our top priority. That's why we always go above and beyond to bring you the cleanest and highest quality nutritional supplements, superfoods, storable foods, preparedness items, and more. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com today. In recent years, the world has only become increasingly more chaotic and uncertain. Disruptions to the supply chain have resulted in global food shortages, making it difficult for us to access the very resources we need to live in a functioning society. That's why it is now more important than ever to be prepared for the unexpected. Here at Brighteon and BrighteonStore.com, we've made it our mission to help you and your loved ones be prepared for any emergency, which is why we are dedicated to bringing you a wide selection of ultra-clean and lab-verified superfoods, supplements, preparedness items, and other health products. So support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com today.
Ohio Brett, live in that state up north, thank you so much for watching Brighteon.tv, the fastest growing streaming network in the world. I'm blessed to have the Ohio Brett Show for God and country in sports every Wednesday, 4 to 5 Eastern Standard Time.
And tune in every single Sunday and every single Tuesday on the front lines with Christy Hutcherson, hard-hitting news, live sometimes in the field, truth that you're not seeing anywhere else. Thank you so much, Brighteon TV. Tune in, it is the fastest growing. And also, thank you so much, Mike Adams. We appreciate you very much.
We love our head coach, Mike Adams. God bless you.
Welcome back to the Dr. Hotze Report. I'm Dr. Steve Hotze. I'm here with the chairman of the Republican Party of Texas, Matt Rinaldi, former state representative from 2015 to 2019. He was listed as one of the most conservative members of the Texas House. I've known Matt since back when he was first elected and supported him in his first election. He has been an outstanding voice for conservative Christian values in civil government as a state rep and as party chairman. And the reason I brought him on today is that the state party of Texas, Republican Party of Texas, sent a mail out, which we'll show you later in the program, endorsing or supporting Ken Paxton, asking Republicans to stand with Paxton. As you well know, I have a PAC that's been set up, Stand With Paxton PAC. I want to encourage every one of you to go to standwithpaxton.com. Go to that PAC. Look down, you can scroll down. I've got a list of all. I've got Lieutenant Governor Patrick's number, all the state Republican senators' number. You need to contact them. Call them up, leave a voicemail, and say, stand with Paxton, acquit him. We're standing with Paxton, acquit him. And this is going to be very important because the rhinos and the communist Democrats have been after Paxton ever since in 1920, he challenged the election results before the filing a suit in the United States Supreme Court with several other states. He led the way. He's been the most conservative attorney general in the country, according to Donald Trump, President Trump. And Senator Ted Cruz has called this a travesty, this sham impeachment proceedings. So I have with us right now Matt Rinaldi. Matt, you were a member of the House. You saw what happened leading up to the impeachment charges being filed by the House. Tell me what your thought was on the process and what was wrong about that process, why it was a sham impeachment, why it was he was railroaded. Tell us about that. So our viewers can understand what happened, how he got railroaded with these charges and now is standing before the Senate trying to defend himself.
Well, there was no process. There was an investigation conducted in secret. The House members had no knowledge of the investigation while it was going on. And the General Investigating Committee that was investigating didn't directly question any witnesses themselves even. Instead, Ann Johnson, a Democrat, hired some of former prosecutors who were connected with her to investigate Ken Paxton in secret. Then they took a report to the General Investigating Committee that they then presented to the House 48 hours before the impeachment vote. Then they whipped votes among House members, telling them that they would be punished if they didn't vote for the impeachment, and then voted for the impeachment after a hearing that lasted less time than they debated on how to tax tampons in the Texas House. There was no impeachment process. This, if it was a grand jury, the House likes to say they're a grand jury, right? And they didn't have to prove anything. If you went to a grand jury with an indictment already written up and the grand jury did not have any meaningful deliberation or inclusion in the process, that would be a constitutional violation. Same thing here. The Constitution was not followed and process was not followed.
Let's make it really clear, folks, that this was done in secret. There was a secret investigation by the General Investigating Committee that nobody knew about except the Speaker and Charlie Guerin and several other rhinos working with Democrats like Representative Johnson out of Houston. And they had come up with a whole series of reports they wanted to give to the General Investigating Committee. And then 2 days before this happened, Speaker Phelan shows up drunk on the speaker stand. You can't make this stuff up, folks. We got videos of it. And Attorney General Paxton calls for his impeachment. And then on Wednesday, the 24th of May, 5 days before the session's going to be over, Dave Phelan calls this committee into being. They meet for 2 days, for a total of maybe 6 hours. They only heard, got reports from investigators. No witnesses was there. Nobody was sworn under oath. Nobody had to take an oath, which is violation of all the rules of of House committees, everybody going before a House committee has to raise their hand and swear that they're going to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. They didn't require that, which violated House rules. They didn't have any direct witnesses there. All they did was have hearsay evidence. And they took that after 6 hours of hearing, and they had 21 articles of impeachment already drafted. They took it to the House on Saturday and told them, we're going to vote on this. And they literally, now this was obviously all the communist Democrats had lined up. They've been against Paxton forever, okay? So have the rhinos in the House, because Paxton was in the House and he was always on the, he was over there on your side of the aisle, even though he preceded you in the House. He was already Attorney General when you were elected. But he was over in the House. He was a leading conservative activist in the House, and the rhinos disdained him. And so they were out to get him. And then of course, that, you know, 34 of the state representatives had received somewhere in the order of $3,200,000 in donations from Speaker Phelan. These were, many of them were just new reps. And of course, this is, how does it work when you talk about they whip the vote? What do they go, how does that work? What happens? Well, the leadership does what?
So for 90% of the votes, they generally let you vote however you choose and don't really say much to you. However, if it's something important to leadership, people will get calls and say, if you vote against this or for it, as the case may be, we're going to consider this a speaker's vote, which means we are going to treat you as if you voted in the speaker's election against the speaker. It's sort of like a vote of no confidence in a parliamentary system. So therefore, you know, if you don't vote the way the speaker wants you to, all of your bills are going to be dead. You're not going to get good committee assignments in the future. You're certainly not going to be a chair or a vice chair. They know
you're not going to get any donations. You're not going to get any donations from Speaker Phelan.
Correct. And you're not going to be
you can be knocked off the donation list. So it's not only money that Speaker Phelan gives, which he gave $3.2 million during the last election cycle to 34 of the Republicans in the House.
Right.
Yeah, they're not going to get
and he'll also call. He'll call lobbyists. Right. He'll call corporate donors.
Tell them
and say, don't donate to these people.
Right. And so these people know that. So they were coerced, but they didn't. And 23 Republicans had the courage to say, no, we're not going to stand for this. Okay. So we've gone over to the House now, and they sent this over to the House. And if you remember Johnson, what's her first name? The state. Ann Johnson from Houston, who's a lesbian from Houston. She's a known lesbian. She's proud of it. She gets up before the House and in the talk when they were having the vote for the impeachment articles, said this, that there have crimes been committed by Attorney General. We've got to impeach him because he's committed crimes. That's what she said. Okay, let's flash forward. Right now to clip one. Clip one is going to show us the testimony of 8 whistleblowers, and we're going to look at 2 of them. There were 8 individuals that worked on the staff, deputy attorney generals in different departments that worked on Ken Paxton's staff that are the star witnesses for the prosecution. Well, they always sound good when the prosecution asks them the question. You go, oh my gosh. Paxton must be just guilty of sin until they get cross-examined. Now, this is first going to be Jeff Mateer is going to be cross-examined by defense attorney Tony Busby. Can we bring that up?
So now let's focus on this document that's in evidence. You were asked point blank, and this is 6 months. I mean, come on. 6 months after you left the office, 6 months after you'd went to the FBI. This is after some of your colleagues had filed a very public lawsuit, right?
Correct.
And this is even after that you had been interviewed in the press, right?
I believe one time, yes.
Yeah, and all kinds of things were going on in the press about these so-called whistleblowers and crimes and all kinds of things. And then here you are placed under oath in March of 2021 and you were asked point blank whether you believed the office of the AG was engaged, had been engaged in ongoing criminal activity in relation to Nate Paul, and you couldn't even give an answer, could you?
With regard to the Office of Attorney General, correct.
You're making some distinction between the office and the AG himself?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Because you didn't want to say that you had been engaged in criminal activity, right?
I don't believe, no.
I mean, part of the so-called criminal activity is the MIDI intervention, isn't it? And you were dead in the middle of that, weren't you?
I approved the executive memorandum.
Isn't it ironic that the first witness called in this case for the House on the first article of impeachment that was passed, that this witness, you, approved that intervention? Isn't that ironic?
I don't know, sir.
Don't you think that really reflects the whole House's case? That they put you up here as the witness to tell us how bad Ken Paxton was, and on the very first article, you approved it. Isn't that ironic?
The irony, I guess, is lost on me, sir.
Is it?
It is.
So that was Jeff Mateer. He was the Deputy Attorney General for Ken Paxton. And there are 21 charges against him. There are 21 articles of impeachment. So they have to be proven beyond a shadow of a doubt. The same standard that you have in a criminal trial, although this isn't a criminal trial, folks, this is a political trial. If Ken Paxton is convicted, he's not sent to jail. He suffers no penalties other than he's removed from office and can't ever run for office. This is a political trial. This was brought up by the rhinos who've had it out for Ken Paxton since he was in the House and since he got elected Attorney General. And they've been out to get him. And so now they're going to come after him. And Jeff Mateer the first article was a question about this foundation, 501c3 organization, the Mateer organization, which they said Ken Paxton committed a crime because he investigated or got involved in this situation. And Jeff Mateer was one of the eight whistleblowers, so-called, who went to the FBI on September 30th, 2020, to say that they believed that Ken Paxton had committed a crime without any evidence. And it was interesting, as Tony Busby pointed out, Mr. Mateer, you signed the letter agreeing to this. How can you say he committed a crime when you agreed it unless you committed a crime? Well, we didn't commit a crime. Okay. So say what Matt's an attorney, and he probably elucidate better than I can on this. What was your take on Mateer? You saw all his testimony.
Oh, yes.
And the cross, it was something. Gee.
Yes. I mean, he admitted, and other witnesses have admitted also, that they went to the FBI with no evidence of a crime. They suspected he committed a crime. And then we figure out afterwards why they suspected it. The last two witnesses, Maxwell and Penley, said that they suspected it because he had the audacity to investigate or to ask to investigate alleged impropriety by the FBI. And just the act of investigating the FBI, they thought, was Penley's words, insane. Because why would the FBI commit misconduct? We've never heard of the FBI committing misconduct, surely. But to these people, they had faith in the establishment. They had faith in the FBI. And they thought there must be some impropriety if an AG wants to investigate the FBI. And that's why they suspected a crime. So even that testimony, later witnesses have provided a very, very benign reason for doing
right.
So.
Let's go to clip two. This is going to be a clip of Ryan Vassar. He was the Deputy Attorney General for Special Counsel. And he was like fourth in command. He was a significant role. Let's look at this testimony he gave in cross-examination with the defense attorney, Mitch Little. By the way, I would never like Tony Busby or Mitch Little ever to cross-examine me. I mean, they just filleted these guys. It was brutal. Let's go to this clip right now, clip two.
You didn't know that Ken Paxton had disclosed anything to anyone when you made this report to the FBI, did you?
No.
You were hoping the FBI would sort it out for you and not think that you were co-conspirators with him, correct?
No. The purpose of the complaint to the FBI was because we had formed a belief in good faith that the Attorney General was involved in criminal activity.
This is something that I keep hearing over and over again. Formed a good faith belief that the Attorney General of this state was engaged in illegal activity. Did I say that right?
That's accurate.
But you didn't know, right?
That's the point of the good faith belief is we had no evidence that we could point to, but we had reasonable conclusions that we could draw.
You went to the FBI and reported the Attorney General of this state with no evidence. Do I have that correct?
We reported the facts to the FBI.
That's not my question. You had no evidence that Ken Paxton had done anything illegal. Did you?
Your Honor, it's not necessary to yell at this witness. I suggest it's disrespectful. I request you quit doing it.
I apologize. Let me do this again at a lower volume. We get this straight. You went to the FBI and reported him for potential crimes without any evidence. Do I have that correct?
We went to the FBI and reported...
Please answer my question. Yes,
our belief that criminal activity had occurred.
That was not my question.
Witness, please answer the question, yes or no.
Can I ask it again, Mr. Vassar? I want to get this straight. You went to the FBI on September 30th with your compatriots and reported the elected Attorney General of the state for a crime without any evidence. Yes?
That's right. We took no evidence.
Did you gain any after that? Did you gain any after that?
Well, we weren't collecting evidence.
Did you gain any after that?
Evidence of what, sir?
Evidence of a crime committed by the elected Attorney General in this state, elected by over 4 million voters. That guy.
I don't recall if we had collected any evidence.
Don't you think that's something that you should be able to recall, sir? You made a complaint. Yes?
Yes.
Without any evidence. Yes?
No.
I'm sorry?
Again, these are our good faith beliefs that a crime had occurred.
Respectfully, sir, we are not here in this historic event for your good faith beliefs.
Well, that's breathtaking, isn't it? If that doesn't shatter their case and just prove that these guys went to, I'm talking about the 8 so-called whistleblowers that the press says are the good guys. They showed all the corruption and the crimes that Ken Paxton had, and they had no evidence at all. And they admitted under oath, we had no evidence when we went there. All we had was a good faith belief. Now, in a criminal trial, you're an attorney. I don't think you practiced criminal law, did you?
I did some prosecution and some defense work.
Okay, well, so you understand about good faith belief. So tell me, in a criminal case, can you convict a person because somebody has good faith belief that somebody committed a crime without any evidence?
No, this case would be laughed out of the courtroom in a criminal trial. Specifically, I just want to point to the fact that this is the prosecution's case. We haven't even put on the defense yet. I mean, this is the prosecution's case. They're supposed to be making out their case. Ken Paxton's putting on his case later. And they've proven they have no evidence that a crime's been committed. They thought it was insane that somebody would think the FBI committed misconduct and want to investigate them. And they're assuming that there was a bad motive for it.
We know the FBI has done that. We've lost faith in the FBI, and they believe in the FBI.
But let me point somebody to a particular thing that came out today with Pedley, because I don't think anyone focused on this, too. If Ken Paxton had engaged in illegal activity and wanted to investigate the FBI, he would be intent on investigating the FBI. But Pedley said when they originally got back the report on the FBI investigation, the metadata investigation. And they told Ken, well, we have an innocent explanation for this that could be it. And Ken goes, okay. He goes, yeah, just let them know. He didn't say, well, keep investigating until you find something. He goes, no, just let them know. So he knows the result of the investigation. That isn't somebody who's committing an illegal act in doing this investigation. That's somebody who wanted to be thorough. That's somebody who wanted to make sure that the FBI was not engaging in misconduct.
Let's go real quick to the two photos of the mail piece you sent out. Real quickly, can we put those up, Heather? This is the first one, which says the Republican Party of Texas stands with Ken Paxton because he stands with you. There's Matt Rinaldi, who's on our screen, Texas GOP chair. Turn to the next page. And this lists the reasons for Ken Paxton, standing with Ken Paxton. He's been fighting for us. He fought for us on election reform, fought for us over immigration, fought for us over the transgender. He's been a fighter. He sued Biden over 47 times for crying out loud in a bucket. I mean, this guy has been on the point. And he deserves our accolades and appreciation for having done that. Your last words, and Matt.
As chairman of the Republican Party of Texas, my statewide office holder, who we just elected overwhelmingly, is being persecuted by a coalition of liberal Republicans and Democrats in the House. And we stand by our Republican office holder, just like Donald Trump's doing, and just like Ted Cruz is doing, and just like so many other conservatives are doing.
Matt, I want to commend you for your tremendous leadership. And you've got courage of your convictions. You're a bold and courageous patriot and godly leader. And I am so grateful for you and thank God for you. And I know all the Republicans feel the same way. They are on our side. So thanks for joining us today. And thank each one of you for joining today. Stay tuned. I'm going to have Ed Martin, who is the head of Eagle Forum Defense, talk about the award that he's getting ready to present Ken Paxton this Saturday at their annual award ceremony. Thank you again for joining us. Thank you again, Mr. Rinaldi.
Experts agree that cardio, muscle, and brain exercise are critical to overall health. But what if you discovered you were missing an exercise that the Surgeon General says was just as important? It's called Juvent. The first clinically proven micro-impact platform in the world. Juvent's clinically proven, patented technology discovers the right frequency of micro-impact for your body. Simply stand on it for 12 seconds and calibrates the Juvent to the uniqueness of your size and body mass.
Brought up the webpage here of the Juvent webpage so people know what we're talking about. It's a platform, it's a micro-impact platform. And I literally use it every day.
Knee pains and joint problems and back pains that they've seen resolve with using Juvent.
SAT123.com, they have put together a really incredible package, emergency backup communication systems, power systems. We've got sat phones, we've got solar panels, and also the big 400 watt solar panel behind us there. And why does this matter? Because of course, right now we are dealing with massive risk of blackouts and the power grid is just failing, you know, intermittently, but it's going to get worse because we've also got energy shortages. Think about the lack of coal power, the diesel problems that are happening right now. If you're in the military or the National Guard or Border Patrol, or law enforcement, and you need to be able to function even when the power grid goes down, or maybe you're a first responder, rescue team, firefighter, paramedic, you name it, you need to know about this equipment. So SAT123.com, folks.
All right. Well, we are so excited and thankful to the Lord for Brighteon. We are so excited for what Mike Adams and his team have put together to give us a voice that can speak freely without being censored and without being taken down from our platform and all those kind of things. Thank you for standing up for freedom. Thank you for letting people have the ability to speak freely in our nation. Thank you so much and around the world. God bless you. We love you.
Thanks for your support of this platform. Use the code BTV at checkout for additional savings. BrighteonStore.com.
The global currency collapse will wipe out the dollar and many other assets, and the only things that will maintain value during the global debt reset are those with intrinsic value that do not require governments, corporations, or markets to make good on their obligations. At the top of this list of intrinsic assets is physical gold and silver. These precious metals have outlasted every failed civilization and government in human history. And they are non-digital, which means they still hold value even if the power grid fails. The Treasure Island Coins and Precious Metals Company is my go-to source for physical precious metals that are delivered securely and discreetly into your hands. Visit BrighteonMetals.com to check their live pricing and in-stock coins and bars. Find out why they are my trusted source for physical metals and why they're the official sponsor of Brighteon.tv. BrighteonMetals.com. Mike.
Hello, I'm Dr. Steve Hotze. Welcome back to the second half of the Dr. Hotze Report. We had a great interview with Matt Rinaldi, chairman of the GOP, Texas Republican Party. And he's an outstanding conservative, and he is leading the Republican Party of Texas in supporting Ken Paxton's acquittal. He's a great guy. Now I've got, for our second half of the interview, or the program, we've got Ed Martin. Ed Martin is the president of the Eagle Forum Defense. I'm sorry, Eagle Legal Defense Fund. This is Phyllis Schlafly's organization that he took over in 2015. And Ed has been Ed's an attorney, been very active in politics, worked closely with Phyllis Schlafly and Eagle Forum. But more than that, his experience comes because he served as the chairman of the Missouri Party Republican Party, the same role that Matt Rinaldi now holds with the Texas Republican Party, he held with the Missouri Republican Party. And then he became chief of staff. He was also a member of the Republican National Committee. And then he became chief of staff to then Missouri Governor Matt Blunt. So he understands politics. He's an attorney. He understands the law. And he's been doing an outstanding job running the Eagle Forum Legal Defense Fund and Education Fund. As a matter of fact, this Saturday, because of Ken Paxton's strong stance in support of conservative values using the legal system of Texas, using the Attorney General's office, the Eagle Forum Education and Legal Defense Fund is doing what? What are you awarding Ken Paxton this week, Ed? And welcome to the program, by the way.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Hotze. You know, while Phyllis Schlafly was alive, one of the things I know you appreciate about her, you're like her, I am too, she trained me, is we run towards the fight. Most of the rhinos, most of the establishment, in fact, let's say it, be honest, most Americans, most people, they don't want to get in a fight. You know, they don't want to get, they step back a little bit and say, well, the media is covering Attorney General Paxton and some of the senators have said something and this, and they say, well, let's see how it plays out. We got to run towards the fight. And while Phyllis Schlafly was alive, she passed away in 2016, and you were very kind. I remember very well, vividly, that you were there at her funeral, came up to be with us at that time. So did Donald Trump, by the way. Donald Trump came off the campaign trail to wish the Schlafly family best wishes. But before she died, the last Eagle Council, which is what we're having on Saturday, we had an award that she created, the Phyllis Schlafly Award for Leadership. And she basically said it's for the men and women that are running towards a fight and that are going to be left alone and left out on an island. And that's what happened with Ken Paxton. Look, there was an election and millions of Texans voted for him. They knew his record. They knew the accusations. They wanted him to serve. Why? Because every time the governments, state and federal, were intruding on our sovereignty, we the people, Ken Paxton, Texans, I'm not a Texan, but he stepped up. He stepped up. Does it mean he's perfect? Of course not. Does he mean he got everything right? Of course not. But what we know is he's a fighter. And Phyllis Schlafly said, when you fight, we stand with you. And it doesn't matter whether it was ERA, pro-life, fighting against the communists. She stood there. And you know, Dr. Hotze, in 1964, Phyllis wrote a book. And it was like what happened to Attorney General Paxton. We have to make sure it doesn't happen to him like it happened to her. 64, she writes a book. It's called A Choice, Not an Echo. She names names. She says the Republican Party's filled with globalist rhinos who are selling us out. She names names and says we can't do this. 3 years later, politics. She was about to become the president of the National Federation of Republican Women. And you know what they did? They cheated. They bust in voters from Pennsylvania. And for the first time in its history, the first vice president, Phyllis Schlafly, did not succeed to be president. And she went home to Missouri in 1968 in January and had the first gathering of eagles. And she transformed America from the perch that she was left on. It was politics. What they're doing to General Paxton is politics. And what the people that are listening need to know is one thing will persuade the senators and the representatives and everybody else in the state of Texas. And that is if the people understand that it's politics. And when you're done doing this, we're going to remember what you did. We have a long memory if you do the wrong thing. And we have a long memory if you do the right thing.
Well, let me tell you right now, folks, in following up on Ed's remarks, you need to contact your Lieutenant Governor Patrick and your state senator. Those of you that are in the 19 state senatorial districts, there are 31 districts, 12 controlled by Democrats. We have 19 Republican state senators. You need to call those state senators. You can go, I don't know who my state senator is. Well, let me tell you what you do. Go to standwithpaxton.com, standwithpaxton.com. There you can see I have a video explaining what had happened. You've heard it. You've heard me talk about this. Scroll down. You can see the reasons we need to support Paxton. And that was signed by numerous Republican leaders, including Matt Rinaldi and other Republican leaders. And then scroll down to the list of all the state senators. We have a phone number for their office. You make a phone call and say, I want to tell Senator so-and-so, whether it's Senator Huffman, whether it's Senator Middleton, whether it's Senator Parker, say, I want you to tell the senator, I want him to acquit Ken Paxton so he can get back to work and support our conservative values. He's the strongest conservative we had. I want him acquitted. And if you vote against him, I'm going to support anybody that runs against you in the future. This is a political trial, and they've tried to take away your rights by not letting the senators speak with you. That's a violation of the First Amendment, but you can call and leave a message, and I'm going to encourage you to go to standwithpaxton.com and then scroll down, get your senators' names. If you don't know who it is, just type in your address. It'll pop up and tell you who the senator is, and you make a phone call. Look, a few phone calls, it will drive them crazy. If they get 10 calls, they think they've had 1,000 people. Every phone call is worth 1,000 voters. That's the way they look at it. And so you get 10 calls, that's equivalent to 1,000. You get 100 calls, it's 10,000. It literally sets their staff totally over the top. They don't know what to do.
Dr. Hotze, let me back that up and just say, echo what you, as a chairman of the party, as somebody who is involved, you're exactly right. 10 calls will change their mind on everything. Look, there's only two things that elected officials, we may wish that they cared about more, but there's two things they notice: money and voters. So if you have money, send them a check too. If you can say, hey, do the right thing to back them up, because they need to fight the fight. But if you notice what you said in the previous segment, Dr. Hotze, a lot of the money that's gone to these members was coming from the speaker. Why? Because the speaker can shake down the whole state and control the agenda. And what we have on our side, besides the Lord, is we have Ken Paxton, and we have the ability to call these senators and say, now stand up and do what's right. And just one more thing, Dr. Hotze, I don't want to get into too much. You mentioned I'm a lawyer. I also represent a bunch of the January 6th defendants. And what we're seeing in this country, whether it's politics or the law, is they're taking away at the heart of America, not because we're neat or our genetics is better, but because we believe in the Judeo-Christian system. Amen. If at the heart of that was honor and doing the right thing, and our law, constitution, and the rule of law captured that. Now, and the way you can say it is due process. You're allowed to hear from your accusers. You're allowed to hear your accusers speak. They've silenced the senators. That you're allowed to know what the evidence was. That's at the heart. Now, you could say this is a political hit job. It is. But even in the politics, you're supposed to have honor. And you're not supposed to hide the ball and play this game. So, look, the Attorney General, Ken Paxton, needs us. We needed him. He needs us, and especially Texans, to say, stop this madness. Stop it now so that we can get on with the business. The border's open. The babies are being killed. And we're having this kabuki theater in the Senate of the great state of Texas. Come on. It's time to get past this and get on.
Exactly. Now, I want to show a video clip that we showed in the first segment, video clip two, if you could show that, Heather. Now, the reason I'm showing this, folks, is to let you know that the prosecution has no case. The eight individuals that worked for, that were the leaders for underneath Paxton, that Paxton had hired, a cabal was started where they decided they were going to kick him out. And it was really led by a guy named Maxwell, as I followed along. And he got Mark Henley involved. And then they moved all these other guys to say, yeah, we need to go talk to the FBI because we feel like, in our best belief, he's committed some crimes here. And, you know, so let's just see if they have any evidence about crimes. And you're an attorney and you took criminal law. I don't know if you practiced it, but you know enough about it. I went to law school for a year and I took criminal law, so I know the difference between a civil case in the standard beyond reasonable doubt and a civil case is probable cause and a criminal case is beyond any reasonable doubt. And that's the standard that they're going to have to judge Ken Paxton on all these articles of impeachment that they've charged him with violating crime. Which he hasn't done any of these things and violated any crimes. And they had no evidence that he violated crimes. So let's go to clip two and take a look at that.
You didn't know that Ken Paxton had disclosed anything to anyone when you made this report to the FBI, did you?
No.
You were hoping the FBI would sort it out for you and not think that you were co-conspirators with him, correct?
No. The purpose of the complaint to the FBI was because we had formed a belief, in good faith, that the Attorney General was involved in criminal activity.
This is something that I keep hearing over and over again. Formed a good faith belief that the Attorney General of this state was engaged in illegal activity. Did I say that right?
That's accurate.
But you didn't know, right? You didn't know, right?
That's the point of the good faith belief is we had no evidence that we could point to, but we had reasonable conclusions that we could draw.
You went to the FBI and reported the Attorney General of this state with no evidence. Do I have that correct?
We reported the facts to the FBI.
That's not my question. You had no evidence that Ken Paxton had done anything illegal. Did you?
Your Honor, it's not necessary to yell at this witness. I suggest it's disrespectful. I request you quit doing it.
I apologize. Let me do this again at a lower volume. Let me get this straight. You went to the FBI and reported him for potential crimes without any evidence. Do I have that correct?
We went to the FBI and reported...
Please answer my question.
Our belief that criminal activity had occurred.
That was not my question.
Witness, please answer the question. Yes or no?
Could I ask it again, Mr. Vassar? I want to get this straight. You went to the FBI on September 30th with your compatriots and reported the elected Attorney General of the state for a crime without any evidence. Yes?
That's right. We took no evidence.
Did you gain any after that?
Well, we weren't collecting evidence.
Did you gain any after that?
Evidence of what, sir?
Evidence of a crime committed by the elected Attorney General in this state, elected by over 4 million voters. That guy.
I don't recall if we had collected any evidence.
Don't you think that's something that you should be able to recall, sir? You made a complaint. Yes?
Yes, sir.
Without any evidence. Yes?
No.
I'm sorry?
Again, these are our good faith beliefs that a crime had occurred.
Respectfully, sir, we are not here in this historic event for your good faith beliefs.
How's that for some hard-hitting cross-examination?
Yeah, look, I think a couple things that I wanted to point out, Dr. Hotze. You know, you mentioned I was chief of staff to the governor of Missouri.
Right.
It's a very unique thing to be a direct report of an elected official. It's in the Constitution, state Constitution, Texas, as well as other states. As you mentioned, and it's been said in the hearings, the power derives from the AG. The AG, and we saw the abuse of this in the Trump administration, where right. You know there was, oh, we're going to have an independent counsel, we're going to have this and that and the other thing, and you have these bureaucrats running wild, and you say to yourself, if you don't like working for the AG or the governor or the president, then you can always quit. And you say to yourself, well, how did they come up with this theory to end up saying we didn't like these policies? We thought corruption. And the answer is there are interests that got to influence these guys. And they said, we have a preference over how you act. And when I sit back and I say, huh, is it the people that wanted Obamacare not to be struck down? Is it the people that didn't want the border to be closed? What are the things that General Paxton was doing that upset this cabal of people that said, we got to stop this guy? But, you know, the voters had a chance to say it, as was pointed out. They voted on this. This process is abusive. And what I hope and pray for Texas is that you will have the leadership there say, we got to get past this. And if we have a different policy preference, we could pass legislation to limit the AG. We can fight him in the next election. But we've got to let this go forward, because I fear the politics will really tear the Republican Party in half. And that's, and actually won't be having to be 80% of the conservatives and the 20% of the rhino money. But this is a real problem. And that video really shows how you cannot do this to the state of Texas and the people based on your belief on something. You just can't. This is so wrong on so many levels.
And it is. Now, please be sure to put our time on here, Heather, so I'm making sure we're running on time. Thank you. I'm sorry, producer.
I'm sorry, I'm filibustering. Sorry about
no,
that.
No. You're making some great comments. Okay, here's the situation. September 30th, these group, eight individuals that worked, high-level executives that worked for the Attorney General, decided they were going to go to the FBI without telling Paxton and tell the FBI, we have some good faith beliefs that the Attorney General may be breaking the law. Where's your evidence? As a matter of fact, Henley was cross-examined today, who was in charge of, he was a deputy attorney general, and he was asked the question. He said, you went, and did you have any evidence? Well, did you have any physical evidence? Did you have any witnesses? Did you have it? No, he didn't, but we had some circumstantial evidence. Did you give it to the FBI? Oh, no, we didn't give them any evidence. You had circumstantial evidence when you went to the FBI. Circumstantial, of course, doesn't hold up in a court of law, right?
Not like it wouldn't have much weight. You're right. I mean,
it wouldn't have any weight on in a criminal trial.
Right. Circumstantial evidence is evidence, but it's evidence that by its own description is weak and not serious and not. Right. It would not be the evidence that you would convict on, to your point.
Right. Right. And so he said, well, I had circumstantial evidence. This is Mark Henley in his cross-examination testimony today when he was a witness being cross-examined by Mitch Little, who just tore him. I mean, he just filleted him. And he said, you mean to tell me, Mr. Henley, you had evidence and you went to the FBI, but you didn't give any of the evidence to the FBI when you said that? I mean, yeah. Who goes to, I mean, sir, it's just, and he stood back and he said, I want everybody to understand how he just answered that question.
Yeah.
Oh, we thought he committed a crime, so we went to the FBI. Did you have any evidence? Well, some circumstantial evidence. Did you give it to the FBI? No, we didn't give it to him.
Yeah.
Why? Well, we just shared with him our beliefs and concerns. You don't do that to the Attorney General. I mean, that is just bogus. So these guys, okay, so let's go to the cabal. What's going on? That was September 30, 2020. This group, eight of these individuals, went to the FBI. And I think they were really hoodwinked by a guy by the name of Maxwell, who was in charge of criminal investigation, and then Henley. These two guys got the other seven or six all worked up in a lather because the deputy in charge of criminal investigations, a fellow by the name of Maxwell, had been appointed to that position by Governor Abbott when he was Attorney General before he left office.
Right.
The year he left office. So here's Abbott's man in the office. Abbott, I've been told by Paxton, Abbott hates me. He's trying to get rid of me. Abbott's part of the World Economic Forum. He's part of the global cabal. He's allowed these people to flood into our state. Has done nothing effectively to stop them. Oh, he keeps saying, oh, I'm going to help. I'm going to send them off to New York. I'm going to put them in buses. I don't want them put in buses. I want them stopped at the river, Governor. Do you understand? That's what Texas, they don't want you to bring these people in and bus them to other states. That's just, you know, that's just PR. We want it stopped. And you can put your National Guard down there and you can stop this. Anyway, and that's what Paxton was trying to do in his suits with Biden. But anyway, so Abbott now has a man in the top eight people, a deputy attorney general, working with Paxton. So he had somebody on the other side inside. Abbott had his man on the inside. Paxton should have known this or figured it out, and he finally did. So that's one thing. Okay, the day after they went to the FBI, guess who reactivates his law license, which had been inactive for 10 years. Do you know who it was?
Maxwell.
George P. Bush.
Oh,
the
wow.
The son of Governor Bush.
Holy cow.
The nephew of President Bush. He had not been a practicing attorney, had not had his license renewed, didn't have a license to practice until the day after they went to the FBI. And then he puts it on because he's planning to run against Paxton. By the way, right. He did and got beat 68-32% because the people said, we don't want any more Bushes. We don't want that anymore. So anyway, and I'm convinced once he got beat in 2022, that's when all this started. So they thought they were going to get rid of Paxton. They ran several people against him trying to force a runoff. They did, but Paxton just demolished them. So anyway, they've been adamantly opposed to Paxton since he was elected Attorney General back in 14. Okay. So now, guess who the attorney for the eight whistleblowers is? Johnny Sutton, who was appointed by George Bush when he was president to be the federal prosecutor in the Southern District of Texas. He's tied in with the Bushes. And guess what? Mitchell has asked two different of the co-conspirators. We call them co-conspirators because they conspired to overthrow the will of the people.
Right.
Guess what? Guess how much when what they were asked? Well, how much is Sutton charging you? Oh, guess what they said. Guess what his fee is, and he's a very prominent lawyer in Texas.
I don't know. Well, tell me. I'm not good at guessing.
He's not charged. He hadn't charged us anything. Has he sent you a bill? No. What does your agreement say in your agreement when he took the case? Well, we didn't sign an agreement. Oh. Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's amazing.
I mean, think about that. What attorney takes on eight high-profile clients for 3 years, doesn't sign a contract with them, which every attorney I've ever worked with always makes you sign an agreement for crying out loud. Bucket.
Exactly, yeah.
They sign no agreement. He doesn't bill them. Somebody's paying for it. Who do you think's paying for it? Could it be coming at one of Abbott's corporate friends? Could it be the Bush's corporate friends or some friend hiring Sutton on a retainer? So he's trust me, Sutton's getting paid. It doesn't take a rocket science to figure that out. As you said, on the base level, politics operates on two things, votes and money overrides everything. People will sell their soul for money to keep their positions in office. And I'll guarantee you, Sutton took this case not because he was doing it out of goodwill. He was doing this because he was getting paid. Somebody asked him to take the case. They went to Sutton 9 days. Maggart, who is one of the co-conspirators, Ryan Maggart, said he went to him 9 days before they went to the FBI. Mm-hmm. This was all planned out. So there are higher forces behind the scenes pulling the strings. Part of it is going to be Dick Weekly with Texas for Lawsuit Reform, who has worked against Paxton for worked against him in his election, spent $1 million trying to put up a candidate against him in the 2022 election. They don't like Paxton because they don't like his stand with TLR. He hadn't been a supporter of them. So these political forces are coming together. It appears to be the Weeklies, TLR, Dick Trabulsi with TLR, Texas for Lawsuit Reform, which is a liberal organization trying to take over the Republican Party. I know for a fact Dick Weekly is pro-homosexual and pro-abortion. I know that for a fact. So he'll support any candidate as long as they'll sign off on any of his bills. He doesn't care what they are, and he particularly likes them the more rhino they are. So it's the TLR, Dick Trabulsi, Dick Weekly, and then you've got the Bush family group. You've got that whole group. You've got Abbott and his group. You've got Dave Carney. All these people are behind, somebody's behind the curtains, and I don't know how the connection is, but all these people have been adamantly opposed to Ken Paxton. Yeah. And somebody's pulling the strings on these eight guys that are the whistleblowers, so to speak, that are the co-conspirators. So is thinking of what I've told you?
Yeah.
You've been around the corner.
Yeah. No, I just have one observation. If you look around this country now, you've seen that there was, against Donald Trump, there was a kind of coup where bureaucrats and others united to try to take him down. When you hear that there were certain members of his own staff secretly planning and plotting, getting lawyers to meet with the FBI, I would think in Texas, as in most offices, you'd go in and say, hey, boss, we think you're going the wrong way. And if this doesn't change, we're going to have to go. The secrecy of this, the plotting of this, even the way this is playing out in the impeachment trial, it all strikes me as a coup. It's a coup against an elected official, against Ken Paxton. And, you know, when we honor Ken Paxton, Attorney General Paxton, at Eagle Council on Saturday night, this Phyllis Schlafly Leadership Award, it's partly because when you stand up for what's right, you're guaranteed to get hit and hurt. And Ken Paxton, Attorney General Paxton, has been hit and hurt, and he deserves better. He deserves a lot better than this, and I hope we get to the bottom of it, and I encourage you, again, your viewers, to step up and call their senators. So thanks for having me on, Doc.
Well, thanks so much for joining us. God bless you, Ed Martin, and thank you, and we look forward. Listen, for those that want to stand with Paxton, go to standwithpaxton.com. I look forward to this award ceremony, the Phyllis Schlafly Award that you're going to give to Ken Paxton this weekend. Thanks for joining us, and thank each one of you for joining us. Go help Ken Paxton. Call your senator and Lieutenant Governor Patrick. Tell him acquit Ken Paxton. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for joining us for the Dr. Hotze Report at the intersection of medicine and politics with Dr. Stephen Hotze as your host. Join us again for the Dr. Hotze Report every Monday, 4 p.m. Central on Brighteon.tv.